Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening for the final time to the Friday primetime edition of the PW Torch livecast. Of course, big doings here at PW Torch. Big doings for audio. Wade Keller, if you haven't subscribed, just put Wade Keller into iTunes or into Downcast or Stitcher or whatever your platform is to download podcast, and the new show will come up. There's also on Twitter, on I assume on Facebook, but definitely on Twitter. There's a ton of what the changes are coming with this. But we're here today. 515-605-9345 for the last Friday show. So ought to be, you know, this ought to be good. This ought to be something plenty to talk about, not just one podcast or podcast one, but other things to talk about too, as far as professional wrestling is going on. G1 tournament's coming for New Japan Pro Wrestling, pay-per-view next weekend, CWF show that I will be at, the Johnny Weaver, the Johnny Weaver tournament, 14th annual, on Saturday night. I'll also be at the Raleigh, and I'm just going to these things. It makes it sound like I'm like, you know, being paid to go or making an appearance there or something. No, I'm just going to these things. And the Raleigh SuperCon in Raleigh, North Carolina, where Hurricane Helms, Victoria, who else? Hurricane Helms, Victoria. Oh, Jerry the King Lawler and the Nature Boy Ric Flair, among, and the Maestro, Robbie Kellum will be at this show. So if you are in Raleigh tomorrow, look me up. I'll be walking around Comic-Con, getting stuff and having a good time. I've turned into Mr. Comic-Con lately. I don't know what the deal is with that. So anyway, let's bring on our friend, Rich Fan, Prime Time with Rich Fan, who starts his new show and also has already recorded a show with Sean Radican about a preview of the G1 tournament, and then we'll be doing more with that. So let's find our friend. Lord have mercy. Let's find him. So, all right. Moved. Rich, you there on the PW Torch livecast?
Yes, sir.
All right. Good deal. How's your day?
Good. I have a long, this is one of kind of like your classroom days. I had to ferry students from the school to the Pittsburgh International Airport all day. So,
man, did anybody take me to the airport when I was in college? Did anybody drive me home? Did anybody from the school do anything like that? They got these vans. Man, I went to the University of North Carolina at Greensboro. I did it twice because, you know, I didn't get it right the first time, or I didn't get it right the second time either. But compared to the way it was when I got here and the way it is now, it's just – It's so aggravating. It's so much better. It's so, you know, the vans and the dorms are so much nicer, and all the facilities, yeah, and all the stuff. It's just like, it's this beautiful campus, all this stuff, like, turned into this great school. Of course, they had to get me out of there first, and then they could turn it into a great school. So, no, it was a pretty good school then. But anyway, yeah, so you were – see, these college students today, they don't – you know, we would have thumbed over there.
Fair. To be fair, Bruce, they were high school students. I was helping run a summer program where kids were trying to get prepped for college. So
ferrying them.
For that. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm for was, that. Yeah, was, all right, I take it all back.
Yeah.
So so this is the final Friday livecast, and let's talk about what you're doing, how your podcast experience is changing, because you've of course been a regular on the East Coast cast for a number of years. Travis Bryant had work commitments, and so you filled in, but it turned out to be you took the show right into the end. You came on this show, and it's over now. So Huh. Anyway, but yeah, so
yeah,
talk about what you're doing.
Yeah, worked out. I kind of fell into the ditch.
Yeah.
So Travis can retire as the guy who left on a high note, a la George Costanza, and I kept the, I can look at the ratings, and I can be the Jinder Mahal of the live cast Friday experience.
Oh, now, come on. Come on now. Jinder's, I don't know. I don't know how Jinder's doing. It's hard to tell. I don't know.
I'm just being.
You're doing fine.
Definitely want to thank Travis because arguing with him and getting to know him and then having him give enough trust to posit my name to you was the whole thing that started this stuff off because I was just a listener just like everyone else. So the format's going to be fun. It's going to be next Saturday, the deep dive with me, Rich Fan. And it's going to be kind of what we did during your Bruce Mitchell audio. It's going to be deep dives and big conversations. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to have fun with things. Doesn't mean we're not going to be joking around. But a lot of times, in fact, I actually changed some of the format ideas thanks to a conversation with you. You know, I'm going to send people via Twitter and all the social media the Torch has the topic of the week and then give them homework like a good teacher would. And by the time Saturday rolls around, we could have an educated conversation about the subject at hand. And I'm a big fan of people knowing what my notes are from. I listen to podcasts like The Dollop or How Did This Get Made in terms of bad movies. And I'm going to try to do the same thing. So I'm going to give you all the information about the topic. I'm going to tell you where I'm coming from. I'm going to hopefully have guests that have some information on the subject as well. And we're going to talk and have fun. If Roman Reigns or John Cena or any of the typical mainstream guys show up, it's going to be in a light that you might not expect. So don't think Saturday is going to be some time to call about the WWE. We're going to be talking Progress Wrestling, which is one of my favorite UK promotions, and I have a big passion for New Japan Pro Wrestling. I'm not big on saying New Japan or Progress is better than anything on the mainland here. I'm just saying I like them, and here's why, and I hope you can join me with it. And then, of course, we're going to talk about issues like race, sexism, exoticos, the history of those in Mexico, and how ideas of sexuality, transsexuality, you name it, we're touching it, we're going to talk about it, and I'm going to hopefully challenge you guys, and you're going to challenge me. And my goal is once the show starts rolling, email me. It's going to be pwtdive@gmail.com, and you can email, commentary to the week's events, and then as the episodes start to build, if there's something you feel me or the guests missed or the callers missed about the prior subject, I'm going to open the next show's first 10 minutes with what I call receipts from the week, and you guys can just tell me what I missed or maybe another perspective I didn't think about, and we can go from there because this is all about I don't know it all, and if I said I did, I was lying. So I hope you guys join us on this journey and have fun.
Got a little bit of raw material for one of those shows, and here it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming you heard that.
I heard some of it, but then it started to fade out on me. But I did hear. I heard a good bit of it.
Okay, that's 1976, Ric Flair. So it kind of gives you an idea of some of the things you're talking about have been threads in professional wrestling forever, and probably will be forever.
Yeah.
So pretty cool. And we've got
the promo I'm thinking about. That one of my best friends, Chris Maitland, who's been the guest, that is the promo that turned Ric Flair off for the rest of his life of his parents. Because the wrestling question. So when I started talking about race, prejudice, I definitely want to bring him on and talk about that anecdote because I know that's been something that, in fact, he actually mentioned to me, and I'd be remiss if I didn't say it. He was at the MSG show where AJ Styles won the title, and he noticed that Braun Strowman was there and he beat up a few wrestlers during an event. And the order of the wrestlers, which, hold on one second, I can tell you, was Cedric Alexander and R-Truth came down and Braun had his way with them and tossed them out. And then Seth Rollins came down and that's kind of where things got the odds equaled. So,
right. Yeah.
Little things like that we're going to talk about. I even got tweets. I had a tweet from a fan who sent a message, and I'd be remiss to mention I had it favorited, but because of my drives today, everything's all thrown off. Here it is. Chris Webb sent me a tweet on Twitter where the Headbangers were talking about Mark Henry and said we're going to keep him in the corner and feed him a boatload of bananas. while Michael Cole interviewed them. And, you know, so, and that, I enjoyed that because he put that as a tweet he sent to Wade and said, I don't think we need the deep dive because, look, there's nothing obviously wrong with this promo.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, the self-proclaimed silverback. Yeah, there's a lot there. So, and some of it is, yeah, some of it is on purpose. Some of it is accidental. Some of it is subconscious. Some of it is unconscious. It's and some of it is just as conscious as it can be. So, yeah, there's a lot. You'll have a lot of things to talk about. And I think, you know, G1 tournament coming right up fits really well with what you're going to do on your show. Of course, there'll be on Sunday nights, Greg Parts and Pat McNeil, who caged the NBC Sunday night game of the week out of from the NFL, and now we'll be doing preview show for the week on the live cast. Let's see. I'm thinking of, so that's you and you and who else? Who am I missing?
Wrestling Night in America. We got the All-Star Tuesdays, where Wade is going to comb the archives and bring out the best that has been.
So if you think about all the people that have been interviewed on the on this live cast, I mean, it's an speaking of Jerry Lawler, from Jerry Lawler on in, I mean, it's an amazing amount of people that that are in the archives and that can be featured for that. So I did get asked this, particularly since I made the stupid move of going up on Monday night and saying, you know, the way was doing his last Monday night after Raw show. And he said that, anyway, I just said, I better not get fired on the air. And of course he ran with that and said, well, I got fired. And, so I am not going to be on, I will not be on a regular show right now, except for VIP members. Everything that I do for VIP members will continue. The weekly column, 2 hours plus the Bruce Mitchell audio show, hosted by Wade Keller and sometimes some other folks, but vast majority of the time, hosted by Wade Keller. And then, roundtables and, after pay-per-views, all that stuff. I will be appearing to be determined, but regularly with Wade on pro wrestling on, podcast one. And so, next week is the week for Waterloo, Iowa. We'll be coming in for that. And actually, I guess we are part of the appearance there since Wade and I will be interviewing American Alpha from the WWE for the Dan Gable Museum. And we will also, and then I will be participating in a panel about independent wrestling with Wes Briscoe, Jerry Briscoe, and Troy Peterson of Impact Pro Wrestling in Iowa. And we'll be going to the show where I believe a caller will be cheating me out for the third straight year of some adult beverages, and hopefully not, but we'll see. And on the Battle Royal Challenge, and just lots of stuff going on. These are exciting changes, and I'm really kind of looking forward to all of this. But it is, I look back though, and becoming friends with you, and definitely becoming friends with Travis Bryant, and to see him kind of grow and assert his distinct, unique personality on the live cast was a lot of fun. I knew that when I first heard him, I was like, I told Wade, so I want to work with him because he's not going to take any crap off of me. And he didn't, and that was, and so it made for a good thing. And also we went from, I look back, Rich, I had a list. I don't have it now, but I had a yellow pad and I would write down names in the beginning and I'd write down, phone numbers. And it wasn't because Rich Fan was such a great, he called in and contributed to the show. I didn't write down that type of number. I wrote down another type of number. And Wade and I used to fight about this because Wade was like, Wade is like customer service oriented. He's like, well, that person may be having a bad day. Maybe the one time they deal with us, and if we're rude to them, or don't let them talk, or don't let them, or don't put them on the air after they've waited for so long. And we'll get the calls in just a second. Anyway, after they waited for so long, then, they're going to be turned off by the product. And I was like, look, I've been listening to the radio and call-in shows and all kinds of radio shows my whole life. I'm a radio guy as far as just being a fan and a listener. And this was before, in the days before podcast. And I can tell you when you've got that caller on that's boring people or has their own agenda or is going in, you know, it was wrestling. This is a wrestling show. So they would go into business for themselves and do a character. And I was like, no characters, none of that nonsense. And don't ask me why John Cena, when is John Cena going to turn heel? Funny how my life never changes, but don't ask that because I just got tired of talking about it. But anyway, if you're doing all those things and you're boring people, they're clicking off. And yeah. You're being nice to one person, but you're being mean to the thousands of people that are listening to you. And I had enough, you know, enough acquaintances, friends, in radio that told me the same thing. And lo and behold, just by kind of doing that, and anyway, we ended up with the last few years, you know, Wade has his callers. We all kind of have that group of callers, East Coast Cast certainly, but I mean, they, you know, that they were really important, strong parts of the show. And so I really appreciate that. I just thought I really like, I don't have to worry very much anymore at all about callers. And I really would like sit there and go, okay, who's this? Where's this from? You know, and sit there with my finger on the eject button if it got squirrely from the beginning. And none of that. We have really strong, good, decent callers. And so let's hit some. Well, let's hit one that doesn't feedback, and let's hit a quick ad, and then we'll be right back with the callers.
If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com.
And you know, Rich, when I think about the callers, there's several callers I think about, but there's one caller in particular because I can remember the first time I heard him. And I was disappointed this year that the Mid-Atlantic the NWA Legends Fan Fest, after some 14 years or however long it's been, or 14 of them, that Greg Price didn't bring it back to Charlotte this year because I was finally going to get my chance to meet our next caller. And that'd be Kylan from New Jersey, who's been an important part of the live cast ever since it started. Kylan, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, Bruce. How are you?
I was looking forward to finally meeting you this year, but I think it'll happen. It just may not be this summer. So, but I want to thank you and I appreciate everything you brought to the Torch and to the live cast.
You are very welcome. It's been a major honor of mine to be able to do that for you. And if all goes well, next year you won't be able to get rid of me and probably won't want to see the sight of me for the next 50 years.
Oh, that sounds like a threat. Hi, Kylan. I'm a little intrigued by that. All right. You know, I have a lot of wrestling fans a lot of wrestling friends already that fit that category completely. I actually told somebody this week, it's like, you know, not all my friends are jerks, just my wrestling friends. My non-wrestling fans aren't, my non-wrestling friends aren't so bad. So, anyway, all right, Kylan, what have you got for us?
I'll send you out of here on a light note, Bruce. My question for this week concerns Global Force Wrestling. Does the fact that Global Force Wrestling's ratings have gone up somewhat the last couple weeks since the official announcement of its rebranding to Global Force mean that Jeff Jarrett really kind of does know what he's doing and we have underestimated him, or is this just a temporary aberration and we're all going to be crying in a few weeks?
Yeah, you know, it's good. I mean, you know, it's a measurable increase in eyeballs. It's not a ton, but there's still, you know, under 300,000 people watching weekly. That's not enough of there's not enough viewers to do any real business on any of the platforms that they have. There's, you know, Jeff Jarrett did a press conference this week and made some, you know, made some allusions to tours, and they're going to run a house show in August and what, you know, and that kind of thing. But it's not a big enough, it's not a big enough move yet. It's not, from what I see on the television, I don't think this is going to work. I think it's the same. I think it pays homage to the years of TNA and how they did things. And even what I'm hearing on the press conference, you know, adding belts, adding titles and adding divisions, is not the answer. It's not even near the answer. It's like Jeff thinks that, what they did in TNA was really successful in those years. It was losing all that money. And it was compared to the 300,000 people they have currently watching and no, you know, and no money coming in that sense, it was better, but it wasn't successful. And they're doing the same thing, you know, they're doing the same style, the same running style, the same, you know, frenetic pace. And you know, the Alberto Del Patron situation is TNA, and this is not a compliment, at its classic, you know, is GFW is an old, this is an old TNA situation. In other words, bring in the troubled name that can no longer work in WWE, and then and gamble on it, and gamble on their health, and gamble on everything, and it not pay off. And you know, you can look at Jeff Hardy falling out in the ring before, you know, falling out before he even got to the ring in a major pay per view main event for TNA. And you can look at what happened this week with Alberto Del Patron, and it's, you know, it's certainly predictable. So no, I don't, you know, it's not, it's better than going down, but it's not enough. It's not even close to enough. Rich, do you want to chime in real quickly?
Yeah, I think Jeff Jarrett's never met a, especially recently with the Impact situation and Global Force West, and he's never met a hustle he didn't try to take. And bringing in Patron, this is, you know, I can't think of the right phrase, but it's a, you know, you're getting water from a poison well, essentially. So, or bearing fruit from a poison tree. Pick your analogy. This is great in the short term for them. He can hang his hat on the incremental success, but I think the long run, having such a mercurial champion and having such issues, I mean, you can't, it would have been horrible to have a woman that was presiding as the face of Impact Wrestling, allowing for a domestic abuser, allegedly, to be their champion. But for Jeff Jarrett to claim this is a new era and we're going to do things like we've never done it before, and then you bring in such a sad, troubled person, you're just stepping right in front of the rake again, and I don't anticipate this is going to end well.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that. Where did you go? You went somewhere. Next caller, where'd he go? Excuse me. So let's go to this then. And another person that's been just like a walking billboard for us is Scott from New Jersey. Scott, welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I always loved when you called because you knew the order of the day, which was plug us. You know, this is always about, and the podcast one with Wade Keller will be about that too, is like giving people an idea and some good content and giving an idea of what they can get with the VIP membership. And Scott, you were the man as far as that went. So how's it going on this Friday?
Everything is great, guys. I'm excited for you guys. I'm going to miss Friday night calls. Come, you know, I always enjoyed asking you, Bruce, how your Friday was, and happy Friday. I'm going to miss that. I'm excited for the brand. I'm excited for Wade. I'm excited for all you guys. I'm excited for the new opportunities for the people who are going to get them with the live cast. And, you know, it's just like I said, your crew that you developed, you guys, over the years has been incredible. It's a great crew of callers and always insightful hearing what you guys have to say. And Rich, we miss Travis, but Rich came right in and was, it's amazing. He fit like a glove on the Friday night show. So that's something I
thank you very much.
Well, you're very welcome, Rich. And Bruce, you know, I'll keep peppering you with questions on Bruce Mitchell Audio, but I am definitely going to miss calling in and talking to you guys on Friday night to start the weekend.
Yeah, we'll be around in different ways. You know, we'll be around a lot in different ways, and that's last week on the VIP, you gave me a really good conversation starting point about Sting, that Wade and I could just like really go in deep on, and that's what we cover at the Torch. We cover everything current. And we're going to do a better job of that too. And but we cover everything current. But then some of us are a little longer in tooth, so we can also go back and really dig deep into why this happened and what would have happened and who's what exactly was going on with this. And we talked about Sting 26 years ago.
Oh, it was great, great conversation. We're getting
Rick Flair
responses on it.
Yeah, it was good stuff. So ask Bruce Mitchell at gmail.com. You can send your questions into that, particularly if you're a VIP member, and you should be a VIP member, pwtorch.com/govip if you're not. But go ahead. Yes, sir.
No, just like you said, I always would make sure the editor would be smiling on my call, I hope. I always would think so. Because, there's so much great content. I always said it, but I feel like people are missing out if they're not taking advantage of it, because it really, Bruce, I was an old-time fan, and I had that lapsed part for about 10 years where I didn't watch the product. And when I got back in, it was just because, first, just based on the website, and then just getting back into the current product. And, especially once the network came, the companion, you look, Bruce, your stuff from, 1990, you can find your opinions back then. It's amazing. And and I'm going to miss talking the current product too with you. And tonight, the two things I have one from each, SmackDown and from Raw. If it's cool with you guys.
All right.
Sure.
And first, I haven't heard much talk of, guys. What do you think the chances are that Braun returns on Monday night and during the match between Roman Reigns and Samoa Joe? I think that makes total sense. I think, Bruce, you've talked many of a time about like the super heavyweights and how WWF used to book like in the old school way with the big super heavyweights. And I really think they've set themselves up with something really nice on Raw with these big guys. And I just wonder, I think it can be continued. I don't think it needs to, you need to go already just to Reigns Brock right here at SummerSlam, because I think you have a lot of opportunities there, especially with the way Joe looks. He's been incredible to watch and giving him an opportunity, and Strowman's been great, and it's really been refreshing to see these big guys really coming in. I want to know what you guys think about that first.
Yeah, I think it occurred to me Braun Strowman wasn't on Raw this week, and he was the monster that was wounded, but that still was tough enough to get away without medical attention, and they've got that plot point just swirling around. So yeah, I would say I would expect to see him have something to do with that main event with Joe and Reigns. Now, does that mean I think that even though after the pay-per-view, I thought that they were going to change the main event SummerSlam and not have Lesnar versus Reigns. But, that's what's been reported. And if they're staying with that, then what do you do with Strowman? What do you do with Joe? Do you have Strowman do something that causes Joe to lose or accidentally, or are they looking at a three-way? Or are they looking at a four-way? I don't know, but it's interesting. Rich.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing. I'm a big fan of Braun showing up next week and wreaking havoc, because you have that. He's kind of like Chekhov's gun, right? You've seen the monster stumble off, and now he needs to stumble back in. And just like he did when he was injured and thrown in the ambulance, come back and prove that you can't keep me down. if anything, until he's finally slain, this guy should just be like Jason Voorhees. And no matter what you do to him, he keeps coming back a week or two later until, you know, you figure out Roman's the top dog, or at some point Braun becomes somewhere near the top dog status. Because to me, the next feud for Braun after Roman is going to be a step down, and I don't know who that could be outside of either Samoa Joe or Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, I mean, all that's, you know, they've got their big main eventers on Raw. They've got them in very good chessboard positions. And so we'll see that. And we haven't even talked about this, but I do want to say this. I thought Samoa Joe was just – Samoa Joe looking Roman Reigns dead in the eye and telling him you know, telling me, look at me when I talk to you was a moment. You know, do they look at that and go, this is a moment that's getting in the way of our plans? Or they look at it, this is a moment where we can really ratchet up the intensity with Samoa Joe that they've already worked well with. So, it's intriguing. What else do you have, Scott?
My last thing, guys, and then I'll be listening. Is Bruce, you and we were having a great discussion on Bruce Mistio audio last week about what's next for Nakamura. And there was one point discussed, like, you know, do they, at SummerSlam, do you go in the direction of Nakamura versus Styles so they can have that top of the main event match? But Wade had mentioned something like, well, what else can you do to get him over? And guys, can I ask you this? How about you have him beat Corbin and then go after the title and just beat the stuffing out of Jinder. Put him over. I think that Brooklyn crowd would eat it up. I think going into the fall with Nakamura as champion would be, you know, I think it would give you a chance, refresh, because just like I'm saying, I think SmackDown has been stale. I think they haven't used their parts well. And I think that's the way, in a refreshing new direction to go. Like, have him just destroy Jinder. And give Nakamura a chance to run with that belt they gave AJ last fall. I think that it could be amazing. I want to know what you guys think about that. I'll be listening. Have a great weekend. Good luck with everything. Rich, I'll definitely try to call in on your new show. Bruce, I hope you make some special appearances on there. I will be.
I'll be in different places. Yeah.
I saw the list, Rich. Your idea topics all look great. What a great list you had come up with already. And Bruce, I look forward to keeping in touch in other ways and just listening to you in all the ways you do. Keep it up. Thank you for everything. And I'll be listening about Nakamura. Thanks, guys, for everything. And have a great weekend.
All right, Rich, take with Nakamura.
Okay, I think Nakamura, that'd be a good idea. The question's going to be, are they willing to do that? And I don't think they are at present. Looking at Jinder, he can be... You know, a number of things can happen. The best case scenario for Jinder is he, by September, he gets himself into a position where he's seen as a top guy, not just the guy who has the championship. And he can do the lose to the transitional babyface, who then has Baron Corbin cash in on them. I would hate for that to be Shinsuke, because while that might be nice in the annals of saying Shinsuke Nakamura was both IWGP and WWE champion, if you want him to prove he's a dominant champ, you don't need him chasing Baron Corbin. And I think a lot will go towards what we see in the next few months. That'll help determine how they see Shinsuke compared to how we see him.
Let me, since we're talking about SmackDown, and we're going to hit everybody on the calls, and we got, and I appreciate it a ton since this is our final Friday primetime PW Torch livecast. Real quickly though, we found out today that SmackDown Live is dead. Not SmackDown Live. Yeah. I take that back, but yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah. So Renee Young's show, Talking Smack, is dead. And I think it ran its course. I mean, I thought, you know, the success of it was really around that epic, you know, shoot work promo battle between The Miz and Daniel Bryan. But you can't do that all the time. And you couldn't do it really with them because Daniel Bryan will not wrestle for WWE. And having, you know, the formula of having people go on that show and shoot on each other and tear each other down, and people go, oh, whoa, kind of in an unscripted way. That's just not, in an uncontrolled way, You know, clearly there's some control over it, but it's not WWE, it's not Vince McMahon's way. And I think that that was something that came up, that they used real life, you know, Miz's frustration at, you know, being seen as a soft worker by guys like Daniel Bryan. But you can't sustain that. And I didn't think the show did. I'm not all that shocked that they pulled the plug on that, although it did seem to me like it would be very inexpensive programming for them.
Yeah, and it makes – to me, the big thing is that first run with Talking Smack, like you mentioned, was essential to Mike the Miz Mizanin's Phoenix-like rise back into the top of the card. But I think the current run of Talking Smack was a very good platform for guys like the Usos. Now, even though, like you've mentioned several times, that prison culture that they kind of bring to things with the Uso Penitentiary, that was kind of born on Talking Smack. And then they carried it on to the TV show in the months to come because they
were
talking
to
Kane and then, right. And same thing with Alexa Bliss. I think that was a good place for her to get her chops of moving away from what Wade mentioned when she would do the interviews. And I believe she did I can't remember if it was Talking Jericho or someone like that, where she mentioned how nice a person she was and she wasn't really used to being mean. You could see the attitude, the resting Bliss face, all of those things, all of her merchandise really came out of Talking Smack and reacting to Renee Young. And Renee Young, I mean, for all of her plaudits for being on NXT and being a good announcer there to being a good interviewer, her constant issues with The Miz herself, because The Miz would bring her husband into things, was something that kind of showed the side of her that we hadn't seen on the regular WWE TV. So I'm going to miss it. Now, I know they're going to do it after pay-per-views or, you know, big events or whatever, however they describe their network events. But I think there's something to be said for one of the main reasons I would argue that's being canceled is because it's now after 205 Live and not during the slot that 205 Live currently resides in. And that is
right. Yeah, that's the point. Yeah.
I think that's the next one that's going to be on the chopping block. Like you're kind of trying to slim things down. You got rid of the sodas. Now you got to get rid of the bread, and the bread you really don't want to think about, so you'll just focus on the soda for now. And I think if I could steal another Wade health food analogy, I think that's the thing. 205 Live is really the issue. If you're going to keep it live, you have to buttress it with more than just an awesome match, even though I love that Cedric Alexander match in the main event this week. Otherwise, more of this stuff is going to happen. More of this attrition is going to happen.
Yeah, it's at some point they have to address that. That's a real thing. And, you know, are they clearing a deck with some expenses to also have a women's division show? I don't think so, though, because they've got the women's division on both Raw and SmackDown. And that would it's one thing to do it for a weight class. It's another thing to do it for a gender. So, you know, to have three divisions or three. I don't buy that. And it was also interesting to see Ronda Rousey in public at the Mae Young Classic, the first round of Mae Young Classic tape last night. That was and I think she got a picture taken at the ESPYs with Triple H and with Stephanie McMahon. So mm-hmm. That was intriguing. I don't know if read a ton into that, but I read more into it than I do. She's an exile and no one's seen her. So interesting.
Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar, as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the livecast. Thank you.
Another caller important to this show on Mondays and Fridays was longtime VIP member Brian from Phoenix. Brian, how you doing?
Hey, Bruce. Hey, Richard. Hopefully you both have a real good weekend.
Man, that's part of the show right there. Yeah. I hope you do too.
Thank you very much. I have a couple points. I'm going to make them quick because I know we have some other callers on the line. First thing I want to talk about is that there was some torch chatter about John Cena raising AJ Styles' arm at the end of SmackDown, you know, John Cena endorsing AJ for after their match. And the part that I'll say about this really quick, Bruce and Rich, is that remember that AJ attacked Cena a lot. You know, they had their whole feud last summer, last fall, and then, of course, Cena beat him later last year or early this year. So, to me, it's kind of like closing a little bit of that loop where, okay, you attacked me, I didn't do anything to you, but now I see that you're okay, and yeah, you know, I am still the number one, and I am still the number one guy in WWE, you know, so I can endorse you. So I don't see that as being John Cena trying to, you know, do a, I'll put a quotation mark, Hulk Hogan, trying to jump on the person's bandwagon. Second thing, this broke last week on last week's PW Torch live cast about Austin Aries getting his release. One thing I'll say, Bruce, I really agree with you, is that I've seen Austin Aries once, maybe twice in live, like in WWE, and then once in TNA. And you know, I'm 6'4", which is just above average. You know, if I was 6 feet, that'd be great, but I'm 6'4", so it's just enough where I can buy normal, I say normal clothes, like normal size pants, I should say. But you know, to me, there's times where he looked like a little boy. I hate to say that. But I remember, Bruce, one time we talked about it, and it's probably happened also on Wednesday's East Coast cast, where we talked about how during his TNA days, there was a time when he was in a ring with Brooke Hogan, and he was kind of threatening her, and she was kind of cowering in the back, cowering on the side of the
ring. I remember that. Yeah.
And she almost towered over him. I mean, she almost towered over him. You know, she had some heels on, but she towered over him. And I was like, he's just a great act, great personality. You know, I'm really a fan of Austin Aries, but he just, unfortunately, you know, he's just short. Yeah. I really liked your conversation, like God just talked about which you and Wade talked about Sting. You know, I lived that full time. I lived it live as it was happening, and I was barely Insider at that point, Insider fan or Torch subscriber at that time. But I always wonder, you know, what would happen if he wouldn't got the injury and he would have, you know, got the title back in that February, March time frame instead of, you know, getting hurt. And then lastly, as I say all these things, so I had a couple topics, Bruce and Rich, but you already covered most of them. But the one thing I would like to talk about is that, so on NXT, Bobby Fish debuted against Aleister Black. Now, the only reason why I've ever heard of Bobby Fish is because I've, you know, listened to Sean Radcliffe's radio show every once in a while. And so and I don't really watch a lot of independents, and I watch Progress, sorry, Rich, and I don't watch New Japan. But I've heard of Bobby Fish because of, you know, just listening to Radcliffe or by the Torch. And also I know that there was another person who debuted it that will show up soon, so no spoilers on that. But I just want to get your opinion, your two opinions on, you know, more about them, especially you, Rich, about Bobby Fish. You can talk about that a little bit. After saying all that, I hope you guys have a real good weekend. And, of course, I'll be listening to your various shows. And, of course, VIP is always the way to go. I've been doing it for 26 years, and I told Wade already, you know, he has my subscription in perpetuity. So that's in my will. And I hope you guys have a real good weekend. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks for all your support of the Torch, and, you know, thanks for support of this show. Real quickly, I definitely think that SmackDown owes its viewers at some point down the road a main event of AJ Styles versus John Cena. And, you know, they set up the U.S. title challenge this time with AJ Styles, and John Cena came out to take the challenge, and then circumstances change, so they have a tag match in the main event. But that, to me, I hope they see that like, you put that expectation in people's minds, then pay it off somewhere down the line and promote it, so, and see if you can't move the needle on the ratings a little bit. But I didn't think John Cena holding up Styles' hand at the end of the show as a passing of the torch or anything like that. It's just that I do take it that AJ, as the U.S. champion, is taking on more the main event. The U.S. champion is taking on more the main event while Jinder Mahal is the WWE champion. That they know that, you know, they're working on this Jinder Mahal project. They're using the WWE with that, WWE title with that. But they also have AJ Styles and Kevin Owens really fighting over that U.S. title and making it at least as important as what Jinder Mahal and Randy Orton are doing. By the way, I love the cultural, using authentic Indian culture in Jinder Mahal's push, particularly the Punjabi prison match that, you know, was famous with the great Gama and Lou Fez back in the 1940s. That's my sarcastic comment. Wasn't that funny, but a little sarcastic. And then what was the other one?
Bobby Fish
to me is just a good wrestler who fits right into the NXT brand. And whether he can develop out of there and come into the main brand and make an impact, the two main brands make an impact, I don't know. But he can talk, he can work, he looks like a tough guy, he fits NXT, you know, and has a name coming out of Ring of Honor. And that's important, you know, for what they're trying to do, that works in several different directions.
Yeah, and to your point, and to Brian's point about the greatest man who ever lived, a double. When you look at a guy like Bobby Fish compared to Austin Aries, Bobby Fish is close to 6 foot. So to your point, Brian, I wouldn't argue that you're above it. 6'4", you're freaking huge. I'm 5'9", 5'10". So, yeah, you're basically saying you're going to dunk on me next time you see me in real life. And it's okay. It's okay. It won't be the first, won't be the last, but I'll file out. That's my rule. When it comes to Bobby Fish, I think the background, he's a 15-year pro. I know him because he also wrestled a lot in upstate New York. So a lot of my friends who live in the Buffalo, Rochester area have been singing me his praises for a while now. I know him best from Red Dragon, his team with Kyle O'Reilly, where they were basically MMA/wrestling hipsters as a tag team, complete with the requisite mustache and devil may care attitude. In New Japan, they did really well as junior tag champs. And they kind of exchanged tag titles with the teams like the Young Bucks. And I think it was Roppongi Vice, but it might have even have been Romero and Kozlov back then, that's neither here nor there. But, you know, and with like you mentioned, with the things like Progress and New Japan, if you don't watch them, that's fine. There's other things, you know, I'm going to have shows where I ask people, tell me what you're watching and let's sell it to someone. In my day job, I tell students all the time about elevator pitches. Give me an elevator pitch on why someone should watch what you're watching right now and why, and go from there. And, you know, so I think if you give Bobby Fish a chance, that he could grow on you. Bruce kind of nailed the big points. And, you know, if at some point Kyle O'Reilly shows up in the WWE contract, that would be good for him, because I think if things didn't work out as a singles guy, Red Dragon being reunited, kind of like the Mighty Don't Kneel being a tag team, and then you figure out where things go down the road, that can only help both of those guys because of the familiarity and the level of talent they can bring, especially when teams like DIY are going to no longer be there, at least in this iteration.
You know, Rich, we had a lot of loyal, good callers. We have one caller that, man, when he first started calling, and he was always there right in the beginning. Good questions, nice guy, got along with everybody. And then as he started thinking through things and learning things and just, you know, having the experience, then he's on Twitter fighting with everybody back and forth, me included, you, Travis. I'm just like, you know, and just as argumentative as you could be, and like looking for that argument, looking for that stuff. And of course, I mean, Darrell from Georgia. Darrell, welcome to PW Torch Livecast.
How you doing, Bruce? How you doing, Rich?
pretty good.
Yeah.
Sorry to see you go, Bruce. I'll still be here.
Yeah, exactly.
That means I have to bother you by asking you a couple of questions. So.
You know, we're connected on Twitter. Mitchell PW Torch. At twitter.com, and you know, if you're not following me, follow me, and you can send me messages through there, and we'll talk about them in all kinds of places. Like I said, what I'll be doing with Wade is still to be determined as far as the new shows, but I'm here, definitely here.
Yeah, rumor has it that with Bruce's firing, a lot of the SmackDown Raw contract, he now has a window of renegotiation, and there are certain other newsletters that are angling to get him at a higher pay and fringe benefits, like, you know, all the popcorn he can eat.
That's about all it takes. That's about all it takes. Oh, man. All right.
Hey, you're hungry.
Yeah, so, all right. What you got for us?
Okay, I got a couple of questions. Go off something totally different. I don't know if you both watch NXT, but it was the big return of Johnny Gargano. And I thought this return was something that he needed, and he needed a promo that would captivate and drive him, push him forward to the next. I don't think he really, for me, I don't think he really hit it where you wanted him to hit it at. But I was going to ask you guys, what did you guys think about his promo? Because I thought he needed a little more fire, a little more oomph in that promo. And it kind of let me down a little bit. Once I heard it, I went back and listened to it again. So, and it still didn't change anything. So, what you guys thought? That's my first
question. I'll look for it. But, Rich, did you see it?
Yeah, I did. I didn't mind it. I thought he was in a pretty good space as far as being righteous anger and also kind of betrayal because he had a good friend turn on him. And I'm looking forward to seeing where things go. I think the toughest thing is having the object of your hatred being on the shelf. So because of that, I think we get a little bit of a muted version of it. But I think where he's at,
yeah,
I'm fine with it.
Darrell, appreciate everything you have done and continue to do for the Torch and your contributions, particularly to Fridays. But I know you're all over the Torch, so thanks, and we'll talk again. 785, you're up next on the PW Torch livecast. Wait a minute, I know who this is. Daniel? 785. All right, I'll come back to you.
Sorry, guys.
Oh, there he is. He's got. Yeah, I know it's hard to like turn off that mute button and have something else in your hand too. So, I'm assuming a drink before anybody jumps into the wrong conclusion. So, what's going on? Looking forward to seeing you next week.
I'm looking forward to seeing you next week, and also Bruce. I figured you'd throw dispersions at me one more time, although. I do want to come back with a comment before you cut me off, please. First of all, I wanted to mention that Rich is certainly not the mean Gene Okerlund of TNT on this show. He's done a great job, as you both have. And, you know, really have enjoyed both versions of this show. A couple things came up during the show. I did really appreciate the conversation on Sting on your audio last weekend, Bruce, and I really hadn't thought about before you mentioned it what it wasn't that the execution of the face turn for Lex Luger was that terrible in 1990. They tried to make it make sense, but he was such a great heel before that, and he'd been turned too many times. I really do think you kind of hit the nail on the head of what may have doomed that title reign for Sting, is not having a really great challenger built up. So that's a worthy conversation for anybody to listen to if they want to go through the VIP archives. My main point was actually kind of in relation to talking smack. I kind of take Rich's side on that. I think there's so few outlets for these WWE performers to be creative and to expand what they do that even if it's sometimes a hit, sometimes a miss, I really hate to see that program go. My question was going to kind of be related to that. You know, I've been watching the Conor McGregor Mayweather press conference, and this isn't the best example because those guys need some editing. I mean, some of the stuff they said is extremely unfortunate, but they're going to make a lot of money based on this back and forth. And I'm curious, like, who do you think is most underutilized in WWE in that way of being creative if they have the opportunity? I think about watching Being the Elite. I don't know if you guys watch that. I'll let you guys visit for a while because I'm rambling a bit.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest news story in sports and mixed martial arts fighting is, you know, clearly Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather. And I was so intrigued by Conor McGregor calling Floyd Mayweather a boy and then pulling it immediately back because he doesn't do that. They're both, you know, they both live in their own worlds where what they say goes, and what they say they're not held accountable for because they have the ability to draw so much money in their respective sports. But he immediately goes, pulled it back and then said, you know, look at me, sir, and whatever, you know, that part of it. And then today with what, you know, with what Mayweather said, it's, you know, we also live now in this moment is a time where there are people that get over by saying offensive things and just, you know, and then also just a society that's, there's a part of our society that's just tired of even thinking about any of this and just applauds it, you know, like seals. And so it's a very interesting time for that fight to come up. It's it has roots really deep into our culture, and it's a classic American con in that the hype is beautiful, and it, you know, by any logic, the meat of the fight is going to stink. So it's, you know, it's, but still we're all going to watch because how can you not? It's you know, it's Evel Knievel going over the Snake River Canyon almost, where it's just, you know, excitement, excitement, excitement. And then, yeah, but maybe not, you know, maybe it's a great fight. You know, maybe it beats all those odds, and that's what people will hang their hat on. Rich?
Thanks to Bruce, I hadn't even been thinking about it in that term, because everything is pro wrestling and in a matter of speaking. I am completely with you on that, and you know, one of the things I'm going to touch on before the fight is the idea of guys like Jack Johnson and the historical relevance of what Conor's doing and even what Mayweather's doing, because wrapping himself in the Irish flag and kind of all that represents as far as the idea of the Black Irish and kind of where that goes. And there's so many threads these guys are pulling. And while people will applaud them for being showmen, they're also not taking responsibility for some of the potential backlash this fight can bring. And it's really fascinating to watch, especially things like Brute, you mentioned ESPN. They're having their cake and eating it too, as it pertains to not talking about it, but then replaying enough of the salacious quotes so that you talk about it.
Right. It's like, having their cake and eating it too. And yeah, it's two guys that aren't held accountable for their actions because they're so successful in this one slice of their life that is so lucrative, and so many people, you know, want to be in on the payday that it's the repercussions of this one. Hopefully everything goes and we have the fight and it's just another day at the circus, but it could not be that too. So it's a very interesting deal. And yeah, this, you know, try not to look at everything being pro wrestling in certain ways, but this is, except for the part about it being a shoot, everything else is right out of the playbook, you know. And the idea that you got these two outlaws that are out of control, it will say anything at any time, it works. But on the other hand, you can see where Vince McMahon wants to have everything tightly scripted for his corporate, not just for the hard camera, but for to stay out of corporate trouble. And also, you know, the first night it was really, you know, the press conference was really entertaining and good. Second night it was all right. Third night was kind of the wheels came off, and all it did was add fuel. You know, all it did was add fuel to the hype. But still, you can see where when you have these guys that are out of control, that say whatever their id tells them to say immediately, that it can also stink. You know, it can also not be, and not just saying something offensive, it just doesn't work. And so that's that can be a big part of it too. Let's go to 615. 615, you're up next on the PW Torch Livecast. We're going to stay with this until we get all the callers, by the way. So you all right with that, Rich?
Yeah, absolutely.
615. Getting a lot of static. Oh, I'm coming back. All right. Yes. 615.
Oh, hey, Bruce. Hey, wait. This is Kenny from Dallas, Tennessee. I guess I'm a relatively new person that called in, but I want to say that I've been enjoying listening to your show on and off for a lot of years. Even before I went to the IT, I used to listen to you on occasion. And I'll tell you something, after Monday night, I could finally see that Wade Keller was wanting to channel his inner healing. Boy, I was talking to once a year that got fired, but boy, was I wrong on that, huh?
Well, you know what? The thing about that was, you know that guy's been dreaming of firing me on the air. If he could have had cameras, you know, like, and catch me off guard to do it, you know, he, like, wakes up in the middle of the night thinking about that. So I was like, when I like, sent my little tweet, you know, my little smart-ass tweet, I was like, uh-oh. if you remember Andy Kaufman on Saturday Night Live, Dick Ebersol, who's Vince McMahon's good friend in NBC, they ran a poll for Andy Kaufman. Should they fire him because of some fake stunt that he did, or should they not? And the poll came up to fire Andy Kaufman, and it was a work, but they made it a shoot. They just went, okay, we're going to stick by this poll for the sake of the joke. And I'm very much about for the sake of the joke. So I was just like, did I just like talk myself out of a pretty good job? I mean, it's like, oh my God. So, but yeah, that was definitely, you know, that was definitely running through my mind. So, all right. So what have you got for us?
Well, I just got one real quick question, and then I'll try to help you get into some more callers. And obviously the big news is tomorrow, Monday on Raw, with the whole Kurt Angle reveal scenario. And, you know, hear so much about what's going to happen with Dixie Carter and with Stephanie McMahon and blah, blah, blah. But the one scenario I always have that I always talk to friends about is if they are going to bring Dixie into Raw, and it is in Nashville, which is technically my home area, I've always assumed that if they're going to do the illegitimate child angle, they need to have somebody that would not really be much out of the box or something you would not think about initially until then it clicked. And the reason I suggest the idea of Alexa Bliss as possibly being the illegitimate child of both Kurt and Dixie is because of how Dixie was in Impact. And then you see how Alexa acts, and then you think, well, hey, this is kind of the same scenario. Although, granted, the age difference might not work, but I was throwing that as a possible idea that, you know, it could be like Alexa Bliss would be the illegitimate child, and then everybody's like, well, at least that explains why she is like she is on TV. So I just wanted to throw that out there and let you guys kind of toss that back. And I just want to say it's been a privilege for the short time I got to call you guys on a regular basis, and I will miss it like everybody else. And you guys have a good rest of the night.
Appreciate the support. I'm just going to say, I don't have any good theories about what's going down with Kurt Angle's big announcement, because I don't buy that these married people that are appearing under their own names, that they're most well known, or the names they're most well known by, are going to go up on Raw and say they're having an affair or having an illegitimate child or any of that kind of stuff. And I could see doing something with Dixie Carter on a one-time basis in Nashville, but I think that's just a coincidence. I you know, that she had appeared on that. They've made their point with Dixie, and she's not, you know, Eric Bischoff was a great natural performer as a heel authority figure, and they actually got more out of him than they thought they would. But Dixie Carter isn't. And, you know, and that's, I don't know. I think they made that point by having her, you know, having her appear on Kurt Angle. And she was, you know, if you're paying attention, she was the villain, and that probably is enough. So Rich, you want to chime in on Kurt Angle real quick?
Sure. I don't have a horse in the race as far as the result of what it is. But when it came to, I watched the documentary, I want to say Wednesday. It might have been Thursday. The time at which I watched is beside the point. But one of the things I took away from it was when Dixie was posited as the bad guy in it, like bringing Kurt in, accepting his demons, hoping he could work through them, it was very clear that they did not put TNA on it. They put Impact Wrestling. And that was whoever came up with that idea, just thinking from a competitive standpoint, that was genius, because you're not burying the dead. You are slapping the living in the face.
Well,
you're,
you know,
like,
what?
This is the product. Oh, go ahead.
And look at what happened with Alberto De Patron. I mean, Kurt Angle was in a bad place, and Kurt Angle had problems in, you know, he had problems in TNA. Real problems, but he also, you know, got arrested for drunk driving. There's some, you know, real situations, but he was able to answer the bell. And I will never forget going to a house show about 2 days before pay-per-view and seeing him walk out to the ring and thinking, he is so crippled up. He looks so bad. And then through the I'm sure through the aid of modern science, he was able to compete like Kurt Angle 2 days later in the pay-per-view main event. But I don't, you know, I think that, like, I always thought that was really reckless. And, you know, the like I said, the Del Rio thing this week shows, you know, how bad was Angle that he had to leave WWE at the middle, you know, at the height of his career? How messed up was he? And, you know, he was really messed up and they just took him. It was just like, you know, and it comes out of that Memphis thing of, you know, independent contractors in a territory. Let's bring the guy in from somewhere else and Jerry Lawler can beat him and then let's send him on out before any damage is done. And or let's, you know, and it's up to the wrestlers themselves to police themselves. And the wrestling world, if you're on national television, the wrestling world doesn't work that way anymore, particularly since you're being paid to be on national television.
I'm sorry, not Jeff Jarrett. Look at Jeff Hardy. Same thing happened with Jeff Hardy. Look at that monstrosity of a main event he had with Sting.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's definitely.
They rolled the dice, and, you know, by having Impact Wrestling, you have a natural bond on WWE TV between the reckless behavior they showed with Kurt Angle, Jeff Hardy, Scott Steiner, Hulk Hogan wrestling far beyond his sell-by date in terms of the injuries and the timing of what he was doing, trying to keep up in a six-sided ring. And currently, like you said, with Alberto El Patron, and bringing back some of these guys, having the Harris brothers as people that could be financiers to your company.
There's
a lot. There's a powder keg there. And the more they keep stacking paper over cracks, as my British friends would say, the more likely it is that whole thing's going to come down in a very ugly way. And again, no offense, because I see he's a businessman, but Jeff Jarrett's going to leave smelling like a rose because it isn't his money.
Well, I mean, he'll get paid. I don't know about smelling like a rose. I don't think that he's in. I don't think that he's in.
I mean,
you know, I don't think his reputation is in great shape right now. Yeah. Hello? Yeah.
Oh. Hello?
You're on, Rich. You're
on,
Rich.
Oh, okay. I wanted to make sure I wasn't like I thought was Wade coming through and he's like, we're over time, we're done.
oh, yeah.
As he said, he has that like the sword of Damocles. He can show up at any point, any time and run us off.
Yeah, he did that a couple of times. He did that to me. I was like, nah. So yeah, that was he can on this. So and he'll be on the other show, you know, he'll be on the other side for all the shows. So but yeah, we're there. All right, let's go to.
Do you want to take a break before? Because I think we got.
You want to? Let's take a quick break. So let's do that.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com.
You're up next on the PW Torch livecast.
Hey, Rich. Hey, Bruce. How you doing? It's Brian from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hi, Brian.
Good, Brian.
Hey, quickly, I know you've got a lot of callers to get to. I've read a lot and heard a lot about rehabilitating Shinsuke Nakamura, that he's not where he should be in WWE, and is it possible for that to be done? And I would make the argument that they've got the blueprint for doing that already, and that's through the way they did Neville. They put Neville on 205 Live, they gave him the belt, and they've got him beating all comers. So I'd love to see them do that with Shinsuke, maybe with the U.S. title or something like that, where he just knocks everybody out. And after that statement, got two quick questions for you. First one concerns Neville. Could Neville now move back to the main roster and be a serious contender with his rehabilitation on 205 Live? Maybe a Neville-AJ Styles feud or something like that. That's one that really pops in my mind that I'd like to see. Then my second question is, should Brock Lesnar be the Universal Champion after SummerSlam? Is that what's best for business?
The first one, I hadn't really thought about the Neville idea, but yeah, I think that once Neville has, you know, been beaten and there's a new 205 champion established, and that new act has beaten Neville, you know, in rematches, then take Neville in and do exactly what you said. I think that'd be fine. I think the guy has shown that he can hold, you know, he can hold his own, and that would be good. As far as Brock Lesnar being the should he be the Universal Champion? I do not subscribe to the whiny part-timer thing. And I think you can just look at holding this guy back and himself holding himself back, but not having him as an appearance on every show. He would be much less electric if he was on all the time. But now, because he's the way he is, when he interacts with Roman Reigns, when he interacts with Braun Strowman, when he interacts with Samoa Joe, they really benefit from that, and he benefits from it too. I mean, it's just he's a special attraction, and I come from decades ago when the world champion wasn't on television every week. It was on you know, less than, you know, depending on what territory you were watching, less than most of the time. It was, unless you were watching New York, unless you're watching WWF, but all the other big territories, he was on less than Lesnar is. And so it gives a mystique, it gives anticipation. It's a big deal. And if it wasn't working, I mean, it really, you know, it worked with Bill Goldberg too. So it's not about Brock Lesnar. It's about pulling the trigger on Roman Reigns at SummerSlam or at WrestleMania. And we'll see how all that goes. And that question's certainly up in the air, and certainly something we talk about all the time. Rich?
Yeah, I think SummerSlam, if it's going to be Brock no longer having the title, that's the express way to Cena and Mania for me with Roman. And I think that's kind of where everyone else is at too. If Brock is going to be the part-time champion, I don't mind it, especially now that more people are taking shots at him en route to getting their title shot, if that makes sense. And what was the second?
Neville moving out of 205 after his run as Cruiserweights.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's a good thing. And in fact, I in my buddy's group chat, we have someone, my buddy Steve brought up the fact that Neville has a better win rate. You know how people did it with Gender after he won the title. Neville has a current better win rate than CM Punk in his entirety at WWE and Seth Rollins currently, because he's hovering at around 80% of the matches he's in, he wins.
Oh, wow. Like, wins and losses matter in WWE. That's good. But it does. Yeah, I mean, look at it. I mean, it does help that he, like, wins. It's like that he, like, he's a tough badass, and that he backs up, even as a heel, he backs up what he says. It gives him credibility, and it's going to mean when someone beats him, if they set it up, they got to set it up right. But it is when they do, and it's not out of nowhere, that act is going to benefit a lot. And Neville's not going to be hurt. Yeah,
the fact he created the phrase "the Neville level." That, I mean, it's not one of those tongue in cheek. Like, typically on the main roster, a heel comes up with a phrase, and it's going to bite him in the butt every time because he isn't winning all the time. The Neville.
Yeah,
level,
it's a Miz. Legit. Yeah, Miz. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's true. Yeah, that's really true. They got two. That ironic delusional stuff is like got way played out. Let's roll to 512. 512. You're up next on PW Torch Livecast.
Well, hi, guys. It's Cameron from Austin.
Oh, hey, Cam.
Hey, Cam. Man, I feel privileged. Must be the last
show.
Yeah,
whatever, guy. Well, because it's the last show, I want to wish my guys good luck going forward and all you got coming. Super proud of you and happy for you.
I appreciate that. I'm definitely going to have
Rich
you on
really...
and Bruce on. And yeah, because I got a list. Like everyone said, I got the list I put on Twitter, but I also have a spreadsheet on Google Sheets where I'm keeping track of what I want to talk about, who I want to have on, you know, if I could borrow Ryback, my like dream board or whatever he called it, where it's like, okay, if I could work with Bruce Mitchell for almost a year, I can work with anyone, and I can't say that's impossible. So let's do this.
Wait a minute.
Good stuff. Uh-oh.
Well, no, that's a good thing. I never thought.
Yeah, sure it is. Sure it is. Yeah, that's a compliment. Uh-huh. Sure it is, Cam. Thanks. Thanks, Rich. That's, tell them, Cam.
I was going to say, you can't tell us apart. Okay.
Yeah, no. I can. I can definitely. I'm trying to get collusion out of him. So, out of that. What was clearly a slam and then a Weasley Wade Keller, like, wiggle out of it. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, let me just ask you guys, and I'll let you guys move on. It looks like right now, Raw only has one face team, that being the Hardys. You split up Enzo and Cass. New Day went over to SmackDown. But it looks like, at least for the short term, Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose may be getting together to combat Miz, maybe to combat Bray Wyatt. Do you see them as a tag team maybe, I don't know, through the summer, maybe through the fall, just because there's really no other tag teams and there's kind of a logjam at the top of the card right now?
Yeah, I don't know, because I look at that and I go, they team up a little bit to, like, tease a Shield reunion, but it's not the time for a Shield reunion yet. And but they do need tag teams, and I think the Hardys are going to go down the tubes for a little bit, so that they can get broken and then come back broken. And so that, I don't know. Rich?
Well, if I remember correctly, when they first were the Shield, Roman was the U.S. champ, and they were the tag champs, right?
Well, Dean was the U.S. champ, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, other way around. Okay, so this would be a good time for them to do the instead of doing the buddy cop in the what am I thinking about? Like another, I'm thinking of a 48 Hours type buddy comedy, as opposed to, you know, Beverly Hills Cop, where they hate each other's guts and they have to. We just saw that with Sheamus and Cesaro. So are you really going to keep doing this? To me, I think so. I think they're going to be together because, like you said, Cam, they're able, the more I talk about it, the more I think there really isn't anything else for them to do. And there's only so many people that can be embarrassed by The Miz on the mic.
The Miz and Bray Wyatt as a team, I mean, you know, they've had odd couple teams before, but that's kind of ridiculous. I mean, that would be pretty weird. But
if anything, I'd rather see it just so I could see how Bo reacts to Bray, and if they have the if they're smooth enough, because now, if you know, now that Bo is more into his like family look, if I could be kind about it, as opposed to the clean shaven, he looks more like his brother. So, I think it's very intentional that they haven't done any of those, as Wade calls it, everyone comes to the schoolyard moments where you can see them next to each other and say, wait a minute. So the second those guys are all together, that's going to be an obvious thing. If they have nuance with it, that could be a really cool scene. If they don't, it'll be very awkward and, you know, he'll just start spewing catchphrases. So I have hope for this new version of him. He seems to be very edgy, and I find it very ironic, given our conversation on the Bruce Mitchell audio show about privilege, that the guy who came and had to sit in the bathroom and change himself is helping to rehabilitate two third-generation wrestlers.
Well, yeah, I mean, once you clear some hurdles and prove yourself in their eyes, that and Miz is very consistent. And, you know, anybody that works knows showing up is a big thing, and showing up consistently is a big thing. And Miz has done that for many years. So, but it is interesting. You know, I'm sure that Enzo Amore, and I don't have a lot of details of whatever that was about, but I'm sure Enzo Amore has gotten that speech of, you know, Miz was treated this way. He had to learn, and he did. Now he has this big successful career, and you will too. I'm sure that's, you know, once the stick is used and the carrot comes out. So
yes.
Let's go to 480. You're up next on PW Torch Livecast.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Doing fine.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. It's a Dante from Phoenix, Arizona.
All right, appreciate it.
Hey, so I was wondering, what do y'all think about what's next for Dean Ambrose?
Best I can tell is whatever's going on with I think sooner or later it's going to be him and Renee Young versus Miz and Maurice. And somehow Seth Rollins is involved in whatever, you know, like Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose need a little support, but I don't know how long it lasts. Like I said, I don't know. I don't see, as we were talking to Cam, I don't see that lasting through the summer or anything, that tag team. But I've said this a lot tonight on the final show. I don't know. We'll watch it through, Rich.
Yeah, I think Dean, the big thing is probably going to be at some point him and Renee. And then after that, he's the wacky utility guy, so they can use him as many ways as they can. I would assume he's probably going to start messing around with someone like, not the Drifter, but the next, I can't think of someone else that's like the Drifter, like that next undercard guy that they need Dean to be wacky and insane with. But that's really all I got for him.
Yeah, I'm just hoping they don't do any more of these promos that Miz has been cutting on him about how he's not focused or he doesn't have his brand together and all that crap. Just like talk to him behind the scenes. Don't do that on the air. You're damaging him. There's no real comeback as a fighter to that. Because I'm like, well,
yeah,
I beat
like
these
the,
guys.
Michelin Man. It's just like the Michelin Man line and Piggy James and all those other things where you're making a point that like you said, it's better to talk about it. It's better to chastise in private and praise in public.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I noticed that you chastised me just a few minutes ago in public.
Wait, what?
And then denied it. And then you denied it.
No. I said that as a positive thing.
Oh,
why wouldn't I be proud of working with Bruce Mitchell?
Oh, now you're rephrasing. Yeah, okay. Let me rephrase. All right, that's good. Yeah, it's like if I can work with Bruce Mitchell for 3 or 4 months, I can certainly work with anybody else. So yeah, that was what a compliment.
It's like Broadway.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say it's like Broadway. If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. That's how I took it.
I have said this before. I notice that you talk a certain way about your wife when she's not in the room, and then when she's in the room, that changes a little bit. I'm just saying. So,
I think it's just a function of the. I think it's a function of the phone I'm using. And
no, it's not.
Do
no,
not know
no.
what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, this, of course, is Primetime Friday. The last Primetime Friday, as all the changes come through. Wade Keller. Subscribe to Wade Keller on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Downcast, where I do, whatever platform you use to get your podcast. 4 shows a week, they are free. Of course, you also get a ton of content, including the daily Wade Keller audio show on the VIP side, pwtorch.com/govip. But this is the final live cast. This is the final in this format and the final Friday primetime live cast. So we are ending the show. There's only one person we could end the show with. And that, of course, is Jason from Australia. Jason, thank you for being very patient. And couldn't do it without you.
You're welcome. Thanks very much, Bruce and Rich. And just quickly, a couple of things. Clearly, Bruce, Rich was being complimentary to you because what he's trying to say is that after working with you, he's been able to soak up all your knowledge, how you go about things, pick up all the tricks of the trade, and it just makes him a better person going forward. So if you choose to take it the other way, that's on you. Rich was clearly being complimentary. Come on now.
You know, I remember when you...
talking right now.
You know what? I remember... This is another guy. I remember when he first started calling. He was so nice to me. He'd be like straightforward and do this stuff, and now sticking it to me. As since you used Costanza before, sticking it to me, and you know what I liked about that one was he went and all that exaggeration in the beginning, and then he turned it and blamed it on me. He blamed it on me two different ways at the same time. And of course, since Jason's really become a strong part of this nonsense, we'll be hearing from Jason on the podcast One Side Too, from what I understand. Is that right, Jason?
Yeah, Wade said to me he'd like to have me on a couple of times to possibly discuss Raw or SmackDown. So, I really appreciate the opportunity. But I'm not sticking it to you. I know you're trying to say that in a George Costanza type of way. But, where I'm from, Australia, I don't know how to do that. What you see is what you get. I'm from the land down under. What you see is what you get. And I'm being purely complimentary. So, you choose to take it the other way, I can't really help that. Now, on the flip side, on another note, Bruce, I know you got fired on Monday, but just be thankful you didn't have to join the Kiss My Ass Club.
Man, no kidding. I thought about that. I mean, yeah. Go ahead.
Let's wait till Waterloo.
Yeah, I could have. Yeah, you know what? That's right. Because I was thinking, I'm not turning on my Skype video. It's like, that ain't happening. It's like, I don't, you know Vince Russo can smoke weed on a camera, you know, all he wants to. I ain't turning on the camera. I'm not turning on the camera. No way. And particularly if I'm in the same room with the boss. So, man. But yeah, no Kiss. It's amazing. Like, yeah, it's amazing that you fired got turned up. You know, the Vince McMahon and you're fired, and everybody doing the imitations. And people seem to be kind of liking the idea. I did like, you know, Bruce. I like your content, but boy, I'd like to hear Wade turn heel. It was like, oh, thanks. And then all that would happen, I'd get fired. It's like, great. So yeah, it's just kind of how it goes.
No, but in all seriousness, I've appreciated being able to come onto the show and just talk wrestling, talk WWE. But for me personally, the past 12 to 15 months have been pretty hard. But just the opportunity to come on and just unwind and talk a bit of wrestling and a bit of escape, And I don't think you should underestimate how important these type of podcasts are to people, because a lot of people are under pressure, a lot of things going on in people's lives, and just be able to listen to you and Rich, you're doing a good job, but with Bruce Mitchell Audio, The Fix, just that opportunity to escape and, talk wrestling. I think podcasts and people being able to escape, like I said, is very underappreciated, and just the ability to do that and just take a break from the real world is, I think, really important. So really appreciate it, guys. But moving back to WWE and what's going on, Bruce, I thoroughly agree with you. I thought Samoa Joe was brilliant, but I brought this up on Monday night. I really thought another star of the segment was Paul Heyman. And what put Samoa Joe over for me, not only the way he carried himself, but the fact that Heyman was, he was very, very strong in saying to Samoa Joe, you're not getting another title shot. Almost fearful for what Joe could do to his client. And to me, I like that story of, Brock Lesnar, he's confident he can take on Samoa Joe. He can take him on again, but perhaps Paul Heyman, the advocate, saw something there that makes him worried that if Joe got in the ring with Lesnar again, Lesnar would be in trouble. And I like that story, and I hope they flush it out, where Joe keeps trying to come at Lesnar, and Heyman's doing his best to try to pull him away and not get a title shot. So I really like what Heyman did there.
Yeah, I like what they're doing with Joe with that, and also with Roman Reigns saying the just to Joe, and it goes into what Paul Heyman was saying. It's like they kicked Joe out of the Samoan family, of the Samoan wrestling family. And I mean, it sounds negative, but what it really does is make you think, ooh, you're like, and that's the way promo should work. It should sound, it's number one, it should be about a fight, but it also should sound like they're tearing somebody down, but they're really not. They're really making them seem like an out of control killer that everybody's leery of, and that there's something personal between him and Roman Reigns. There's something that Heyman knows, and Heyman's history goes all the way back to the Samoan SWAT team, 25, 30 years ago. So in WCW when he was managing them. So it's like that stuff pays off for longtime fans, but it also has this kind of authenticity to it. I thought that Joe was the star of that segment, but yeah, Paul Heyman, his content and his delivery was really big there. Rich?
Yeah, I agree. I really like the fact that they kind of forced Roman to be the fly on the wall for a little bit, because that whole, ban from the Samoan tribe, and then look at me when I talk to you, or I'll make you look at, or I'll handle it with you right here, right now, and then turning to Roman and saying, I beat you and you haven't beaten me. You're like, Joe is just at a whole, and I think Wade mentioned it on Monday when he did his review. I hope it was something where, I personally have zero doubt in my mind, it was something to the effect that Joe and Brock are completely 100% in tune with each other. Probably, I'd argue even a little bit more than the way Brock was with Goldberg. Because when Brock sees you as a legit person, he's going to work with you. And this kind of goes back to what happened with Dean Ambrose. He didn't see him as a legit person, so he had no time for him. and yeah. right or wrong, that you see the difference.
Yeah, I definitely think that's part of it.
I mean, he walked on Dean Ambrose's face.
Well, yeah, but he also Goldberg's a different animal than even Joe. There's so much more that Joe can do, but you know, they accentuated mm-hmm. everything with Goldberg, and that was a huge success. I mean, as far as yeah. when you think about it, and then turning around with Joe, that it just Joe fits Lesnar and actually fits, you know, and actually fits Roman Reigns too. Jason. Mm.
Yeah, just a few more points. Just quickly, you mentioned Dean Ambrose. I tell you, I think the story that's happening with Seth is that I like that Dean Ambrose is not too accepting of Seth yet. He still holds it against him that, you know, obviously what he did in the Shield. And like I said, I brought this up on Monday where I thought Roman Reigns has been a little bit too accommodating and too forgiving of Seth, sharing the screen with him backstage in tag team matches. And Dean Ambrose doesn't want a bar of it. And so I always thought it's a strong point of Ambrose babyface character. Yes, he's a bit wacky.
Jason,
yes,
I'm gonna
get out there.
Jason, I'm gonna cut you off because we've got about 15 seconds to go in the show. But I appreciate so much your participation, Rich, and Travis Bryant. You two made the show so much more fun to do. And thank you to all the listeners. Wade Keller, subscribe.
If you're a fan of the PW Torch livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts, The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post-pay-per-view roundtables with the one-hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to pwtorchvip.com, and that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly, and also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. Takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip.